Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. Here we are in this new year, 2018. We come your way on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com. We archive the programs. The podcasts are at the radio shows page of richarddugan.com, and we also link to our guests. We'll be giving you the web address of our guest here shortly so that you can get more information and maybe make contact to see what more you can find out about our subject, which is actually going to be broader than usual, but we're going to focus on astrology today. That's right. We are not taking calls because these programs are usually recorded ahead of time for the replay, but they're also available ahead of time before even the radio broadcast. Also, a reminder that many of these programs have what is called an after view. The radio broadcast is only 50 minutes long. That's not including the commercials and news at the top of the hour. But sometimes they go longer than that, and we encourage you to go to the radio show's page for that given guest. Listen to the entire interview, because a lot of times we will have what is called the after view, so that you get more information, more insight into our guest and this conversation and the topic that we might be talking about today. Today we're going to be talking about astrology from the perspective of, well, of course, an astrologer, Deborah Silverman. Astrology.com. Deborah Silverman, Astrology.com. Deborah Silverman's my guest. And Deborah, thank you so much for joining us today, all the way from out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean in Hawaii via Skype. Thanks for joining us.
That's my pleasure.
The subject of astrology has, I would say, probably frustrated and or mystified a lot of people. And even more so, especially when about 15, 20 years ago, I learned that there was one more than one form of astrology. I'm curious, are there, we've had guests on the program talking about Vedic astrology, and they refer to it as Eastern. What most people see as astrologers here in the United States in particular, they practice usually Western astrology. Are those the two most popular or the only two forms of astrology out there?
Well, there's more than just two. I am hearing an echo.
Okay. You're hearing an echo.
If you're not, I don't hear an echo when you're talking. Oh, there, it's all better now. It worked. Whatever just happened. Okay. To answer your question, yes. There's two kinds of astrology that we traditionally know. One is called Eastern, and that's Vedic, and one is Western, and that's what we use. There are plenty of different variations on the theme. In fact, every astrologer you talk to will have their own point of view. That's really where the uniqueness comes in. The art, it's kind of like an artist being handed a palette of paints and then they're left with what they're going to do with it. So everyone gets handed the same color scheme, but the variations on the theme come out of the person's art form and their ability to be unique and see it from a specific angle. So any astrologer you go to, if they have credibility and you as a someone that's buying an astrology session, it would be worth your while to get some reviews or get some history, because you can really get down the wrong street. That whole thing about the charlatans and astrologers have no certification, it's true. So you want to be careful. One of my criteria is, because I have a school and I have certified astrologers that I've trained, is they have to go through a rigorous training program. I'm both a psychotherapist and an astrologer. I have a master's degree in clinical psychology. So I've really refined, one, how I speak astrology. I speak English. I don't talk woo-woo. Like if I say to you, your Neptune's in conjunct your Venus in the seventh house opposite Mars, you're like, what? But if I say to you, you have a real challenge in relationships and part of your dilemma is that you don't really know how to stay committed, you go, oh, well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So there's the difference. So I speak English, and an astrologer, regardless of the system they're using, if they're going to be of value to you, they're going to give you some practical information about timing, about your character, about what your lessons are. They're going to speak English. And that's really my specialty, is I translate woo-woo into practicality.
Well, I know that when I'm reading the predictions, if you will, from some of the, especially the Vedic astrology locations that I go to or talk with, they usually do give all of the planetary positions and the houses and all this kind of stuff, which in spite of the fact that I've been interviewing these folks for over 20 years, I still don't have a grasp of it. I haven't taken the course. I haven't read the book per se that would teach me how to create my own chart. I'm curious, as to that aspect of it as well. How difficult is it for a layperson such as myself? I still consider myself that in spite of the folks I've spoken with. How difficult is it for one to be able to take the pertinent information to create a chart for oneself?
Well, you don't really have to do that. What you're describing is like going to a doctor's appointment, mm-hmm. and they start mm-hmm. talking to you about all your illnesses, and you're like, can you just tell me if I'm going to live or die? Like, who cares what those words are? So you don't need to go do your own chart, and you don't need to, unless you're interested in studying, and we do have a school that opens twice a year. Once is in, you're missing it if you're listening to the show. Once is in January, the cart opens. We begin the class in the middle of February, but this is just after that. And the other is in September. So if you want to learn how to do your own chart, it's a 6-week class. It's very poignant because you're studying yourself. You're studying your own psyche. The first class is all about you. But generally speaking, why would you want to go study medicine if you can go to a doctor? Like, you don't want to be able to look at that chart and under. You just want to know what the diagnosis is and will I live or die?
Well, that's true. And I know that in spite of the fact that I've been given some very interesting information over the years, I know there are some folks that they live by it and they live and die by it, in a manner of speaking. What level of importance would you put the information contained in one's chart? Should it be taken extremely seriously? This is of vital importance for your betterment and your, shall we say, evolutionary process in this lifetime, to be, you know, a more well-rounded person or to achieve one's life's purpose, you know, and the goals that we desire? Or, that's kind of fun. That's kind of cute. I like that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Kind of I can take it or leave it. Where would you place it? Sort of maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most important or a very important aspect or element of one's life.
Well, it's sort of simple. I don't know what's more important in this lifetime than to know who you are. It was written in the Greeks. It was written in Egyptian times. It's been written in every spiritual group that you can find. It's so important to be yourself. There's nothing else here to do but to fulfill your purpose. You came here for a reason. No one got thrown on the bus. You volunteered to be here, and you've got a very specific purpose. The language of the stars is a very clear description. So to answer your question, it's definitely a 10. Every child, my favorite dream, and I've worked in the school system, when I can work with the teachers, when I can work with parents, when I watch my certified astrologers working with teenagers, what is more important than to answer the question, who are you? I mean, I don't know. What will give you fulfillment in the name of a lifetime? Well, if you're being yourself and you're contributing, you're really giving something to the world, whether that's being a mom or it's being a rocket scientist or it's being a garbage truck driver, I don't care. But if you can do it with consciousness and awakeness and alertness and vitality, what else is there? So yes, an astrology session for anybody, at least one, to get some information about your purpose is, I think, why we're here.
Well, that's certainly what we're trying to bring to the forefront for our listeners is just that. And we talk about one's life's purpose all the time. And we've even discussed how on one level, your life's purpose will change from one phase of your life to another. And another on another level, you have a general, shall we say, all-purpose, life's purpose that would sustain you throughout your entire life. And we're just trying to encourage people, as you are, to seek out and find that. How are there particular, and without getting into the minutiae, without getting into the woo-woo too much here, are there particular areas of one's chart that will help them to find that, or is it taking that information within and using one's intuition to try to find that life's purpose?
Well, there's a very specific reason for astrology, and this is true in India, the Vedic system, both systems, and you're naming it. You have a purpose, and astrology names the purpose using Saturn. There's no question that every 7 years, starting from 28 years old on, you're going to go through a major shift. This is as predictable as this, it's called the 7 year itch in English, but it is as predictable as the sun coming up every day. So there is a system and a way to answer the question you've posed. Why am I here? What am I doing? How do I fulfill my purpose? What specifically are my handicaps? Where's my strength? Help me understand why I can't get along with what's her name. And then once you have that understanding, there's this thing called compassion. I wrote a book called The Missing Element, and the subtitle is Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition. So as soon as you get to the place where you're asking these deep questions that you're posing, the first stop would be an astrology session, because there is an ancient science. It's the oldest science on earth. It's been here for 5,000 years. There's this ancient science brought to us by some very high-level intelligence. It's crazy how accurate it is. Why not get the shorthand version, get a running start, have somebody counsel or direct you and say, here's your purpose, here's the timelines, here's where your vulnerabilities are, and here's the karma. And you're like, whoa. And it doesn't take very long. I can do all that in 45 minutes. But don't, I'm so busy. What you really want to do is go work with my certified astrologers who have been trained intensely by me. It takes a long time before I can say confidently, this person will answer those questions in English, and you'll hang up the session and go, wow, that makes so much sense. Now I know why I talk all the time, or now I know why I don't talk at all, or now I know why I never got along with him. Like, those informations, that kind of wisdom makes this life so juicy.
That's funny. A memory just flashed in my mind when you said talking too much. I was at my grandmother's house, and one of my aunts was sitting there conversing maybe with my mother. And I came walking up, obviously talking, and my aunt gave me this look and said, will you please shut up and go away? It just, it's like, okay. So the chart would help me to better understand all of that.
We obviously err. I mean, that is not, you can't be a radio interviewer without having a fascination with words. I mean, you've got the gift of the gab. So yes. And then, yeah, a perfect example. So then your childhood, this is where my psychology comes in. Mm. Then the childhood wound, which is always the same, is somehow I'm too much, or I'm not right, or they wish I was more like my brother, or gee, I wish I could change. And once that begins, the comparison, the blaming, the judging, the criticism, we start to alter our expression. And once you start to not be yourself, or not be in love with who you are, it's very limiting to have a good day.
Well, I'm actually looking now at The Missing Element, the book that you were just referring to, and it is available at your website. And folks, the website is DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com. DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com is the website, so we encourage you to go there and check that out, as well as many other things. And the class, how long is this class that you teach, which, again, as you've said, unfortunately, the folks have already missed this time, but is it held each year in the same months, or does it move around?
Every year it's in January, the card opens, class begins the middle of February, and every year the card opens in September and the class begins in the end of September. So yes, it's always a 6-week class. It's online. There's only 10 people in the room, and you have a mentor that has studied your chart with me. So they sat down, they studied your chart, and then they spend 6 weeks going into detail about very few topics. It's a very simple, because I believe to teach like at a 6th grade level, so you hang up the class at the end of the 6 weeks and you're like, I mean, it's so much fun. People lose weight, they fall in love, they go back to dating, they learn how to get their job changed. Like, it's a radical personal transformation class. And all you're addressing in those classes are, what's your shadow? Like, what's the part of your psyche that sabotages you? Because once you catch that little culprit, you have some freedom. Mm-hmm. What's the internal dialogue that repeats itself? What's the voice in your head that's got you sabotaged? Like, identify it. That's Mercury. What's your life lesson? What's your purpose for being here? That's a whole 2-week, like, in-depth with homework. It's a very powerful entrance into systematically and very simply helping you figure out who you are. And at the end of the 6 weeks, I feel like a drug dealer. At the end of the 6 weeks, you're addicted. And then you can't stop wanting to learn more. Then I feel bad because I'm like, oh God, I did it again.
Well, we do the same thing. My wife and I have chickens, and we usually give the first dozen away to the person that we're encouraging. And my boss has often said, yeah, you give the first dozen away and the rest are at whatever the cost is. And you're like a drug dealer. Yeah, so I can relate. I can relate. Fascinating. Now, as far as a couple of things that I want to go into here, talk to me about the relationship between astrology, and we're going to stay focused here on the astrology that you use, Western astrology, and astronomy, because we're talking about the fact that, and this is just my simplistic layman's understanding of this, and I could be wrong. When it comes to the planets and what I've learned about astronomy and the fact that everything has some form of gravitational pull or magnetism, and as these bodies are moving around in the universe, whether it's our Earth spinning around the star we call the sun, this planet has a gravity and a magnetism. The sun has the same. One of the reasons why all these planets are spinning around this star is because there's a certain level of balance there. But this magnetism, as I'm using the term, hopefully correctly, has an effect. And we see that quite easily with the moon orbiting the Earth and how it affects the tides, the physical attribute, water. Which leads me to, well, then wouldn't the moon also affect the water in our bodies in some fashion? And I'm going on a little long here in that regard, but I'm trying to make a comparison here, or at least talk about an element of astrology that when a chart is created from, I guess, the person's birth date and maybe a couple of other elements, maybe where they were born and the time and so on and so forth, the planets are in a particular position, which means that the magnetism, the gravitational pulls are in a certain alignment, which would potentially have an influence on that individual's life from that moment of, I guess what, of birth as opposed to conception. And that would be an interesting conversation as well. But what about that element of the astronomical world and its role in our astrological chart and life?
That's so funny. It's really simple. All of astrology is based on pure astronomy. It's a hard science.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what system you're using, whether it's Vedic or Western. It's pure astronomy. Where are the planets today at this moment, based on the longitude and latitude, looking up at the heavens, take a snapshot. And where are the planets? So your question you're asking is just simple. It's always factual. Where were the planets? The interpretation of what the symbolic means, what the constellations and the configurations, that's completely conjecture and that's subjective. But the hard science is full, straight up astronomy. That's okay. What astrology is based on.
Okay. And I kind of thought that. Now, there's an element of astrology I find interesting. Correct me if I'm wrong here. The chart of the 12 signs, if you will, they go clockwise?
They go anti-clockwise.
Counterclockwise.
But you know what? The details, I was hoping so much you were going to ask a different question. What is the nature of the relationship between astrology and psychology?
Well, we can...
The mathematical and the details and the how it looks, and it's almost so wonderful about astrology is it's this ancient wisdom that suspends logic. It makes no sense. Yes, the moon affects the water. Yes, the planets are having this incredible effect on Earth at some great distance. But why would it affect your psyche? I came to astrology as a complete skeptic. I was in graduate school. I was like, this stuff, it makes no sense. But every session that I did as a therapist, and this is Carl Jung, he was quoted to say, psychology will be a dinosaur science until it includes astrology. It doesn't matter what psychologist you're working with. If they don't understand you personally on the terms that are based on your spiritual promise, and they're just working with your storyline, which, by the way, everyone tells the story, tells it best, and it's always conjecture because you can't really fake, you make up stories. That's what we do all day. This chart gives you some very hard data based on hard facts and numbers, better known as astronomy. But where does the psychology marry astrology? That would be a far more interesting conversation.
Well, we can certainly have that. I was working through some different things here. And then one other aspect of an individual's chart. We come into this world with a round trip ticket. And the entry or the departure, shall we say, the first leg of the flight, we have stamped because that's when we came in. We just don't know what the return date is. Does that show up in any way, shape, or form in an individual's chart? Because I know a lot of people, they think that, well, I'm gonna follow this chart, and they said that these certain aspects were going to happen on around these certain date ranges. Does anything like that ever show up in someone's chart?
I'm not really interested. I don't know. I'm sure. Okay. I know. I did a reading for Deepak Chopra, and he had been to an astrologer in India who knew, not only knew his death date and his birth date, but knew the names of his children. The birth dates of his children was all written on some paper that he had walked miles and miles to get up to this astrologer. So yes, there are those astrologers that can predict with hard data, really concrete information. I don't do that.
Okay. And I know that I've talked with others who they really, it's not that they want to hide anything from the person they're doing the chart for, but they really try to keep these things positive and uplifting and so forth. Because again, it's kind of hard to, you know, you start hearing a lot of the negative stuff. It's like, well, and that's an area we can get into, because then this does sort of dovetail into the whole psychological aspect here of the fact that we have a dark and a light side. We have our shadow self, if you will. And it's not something we should be trying to get rid of. We need to understand it. And I would venture that a chart is going to help us. If we're trying to understand who we are, then we have to understand that we have all of these various shades from light to dark, right? Does a chart help us to see those?
Well, the individual does. The chart mm-hmm. certainly can suggest, without a question, psychologically, mm-hmm. what the patterns are. But some people don't deal with their shadow. It comes and bites them unconsciously. So, for example, a parent who didn't understand how to be a parent, and then their kid suddenly stops talking to them, and they won't communicate anymore. And then they wonder what happened. Well, their shadow showed up. There was some unconscious material that was left behind that no one ever addressed. Mm-hmm. It now becomes their shadow, and their shadow shows up with an unconscious symptom, better known as, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to deal with you. You're not part of my world anymore. You're like, what happened? Well, that's a symptom. So, yes, in astrology, can I say to you, here's a tendency. You might be a controlling person, mm-hmm. and your kid's going to feel this undercurrent throughout their life, even though you think you're being a great parent. But your shadow is that you're a controller, and you don't leave room for anyone to have a vote. And the only way they can get the vote is to pull away from you. And so no surprise, your kid just cut you off. Those are kinds of clues. Yes, the chart will give me big, big fat clues of where will your shadow lurk and what will be the side effect. And as a therapist and an astrologer, yeah, can I help you avoid those relationship breaks because you didn't see it coming? Yes.
One final question before we go to break here, and this is something that's I've been curious about for a long time. First of all, is there a difference between the zodiac signs of the zodiac and the ages? I speak specifically of how when Jesus was here, he was here to take us in the time that he lived from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age. However, the zodiac goes from Aquarius to Pisces. What's the difference there?
Yeah, Jesus did not take us to the Aquarian age. Jesus took us straight into the Piscean age. That was the peak of the Piscean age. 2,000 years later, the Aquarian age began with 1960s and the drugs and the radical departure from the old system.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it goes backwards. In the esoteric law system, it's going the other way around. We're backwards. In esoteric law, which is why it goes from Pisces to Aquarius, and all of the system, I teach esoteric, it goes backwards. I always start with Pisces. But that's because our society, everything about us is backwards. We start by, we do the weirdest things. We fall in love, and then at the end of being in love, we hate the person.
Yeah.
We hurt the people that we're closest to. We don't share our money because we're also scared. We've got a very backward society. So in esoteric law, yeah, the whole thing goes the other way around.
Interesting, interesting. Well, I appreciate that because I have talked with a lot of people about that. No one's been able to really give me any kind of an answer that made sense. That makes perfect sense. And you're right. We do. We all do very, very weird things. And we're talking with Deborah Silverman and her website, Deborah Silverman DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com. Need to slow down here. We're going to be coming back in just a moment to continue our conversation. We're going to get into the psychological aspects and the connection between that and astrology in just a moment. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks for staying with us, Deborah Silverman and myself. We're going to get this right eventually. DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com. DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com. That is the website. And people can certainly go to the website, not only find about the courses, the classes, but also, of course, about The Missing Element, which is a book that helps people to understand even more. And you're here to basically share with people a way in which they can learn more about themselves. And I know that in my own life, I've gone through, I still remember chuckling when I, and even this is as a teenager, when I grew up as a teenager in the 70s, hearing from people from the 60s who always talked about how they were going to, they weren't going to go on to college. They were going to go travel to try to, quote unquote, find themselves. And over the decades, what I have learned is, there ain't no amount of miles you can put on that frequent flyer ticket that is going to help you to find yourself, because you're always with yourself, and there you are. You don't need to travel. Although traveling is always a fun thing. I'm not saying don't travel, but you are always with the one who is with you 365 days a year. And, that's the person that we really need to get to know. And then I think, doesn't that also help us to better either A, appreciate, or B, understand other people as well, and have a little bit less judgment and more understanding? That because we all have those stories, both dark and light. And, maybe if we were better, we were a little more compassionate and understanding, we might not have a lot of the problems that we have in this world today.
That's the truth. I always say there's no divorce in heaven. You're stuck with you and you for the rest of time. So you may as well get to know who you are, because it's not going away.
Yeah. I used to joke about that as far as my business. I was the only one, and I fired myself and rehired myself so many times. It was just ridiculous. Psychology, that's an area that you studied. I took a course in college. Didn't do real well in it, but I found it fascinating. I'm not sure why I didn't do well in it, in spite of my interest. And to me, that is an area where I went through a number of personal growth and development programs from the 80s and 90s. Those were some extraordinary experiences. But again, those were all having to do with what was going on inside of me. Yes, I went to this place and I was amongst all these people in this safe space to experience and express, but it was still all about, without being too flippant on this, it still was all about me, not in an egotistical way, but that's the case here with astrology, as you're saying. So let's talk about the psychological connections to astrology in terms of, what was it you phrased it, the why? Why we are the way that we are. What was it that said to you that there was that connection between the two? I mean, you quoted Carl Jung, but for you, what was it that said, yeah, there is these two are without a doubt married and inseparable?
I think the first was, I was in graduate school and I was working with clients, and I realized that every single session, they were constantly telling me what was wrong with them. Not that it wasn't truth what they were saying, but the inaccuracy was based on their ego's description rather than their soul. And so it became my job to say, hold on a minute, let me look at the chart and I'm going to tell you what your soul signed up for. And then you can tell me the problems in that, but you're not going to tell me something's wrong with this. And so I got to reframe for people in a very positive, they now call it positive psychology. That was really what I was doing way back 40 years ago. And now what I teach my students is, God wasn't making a mistake when she made you. She wasn't having a bad day. She just didn't know how to speak to you in a direct way to say, hey, this is what you're signed up for this lifetime. Stop arguing. And that's the psychology that passionately got me connected was it hurt me to hear people describing themselves. I was like, I'm going to help you see it from a different angle. And it really worked. And then, of course, I found out that, Carol, I was in good company.
What are your thoughts? We'll continue kind of drifting around a little bit here, but also talking about this whole aspect of psychology and astrology. But what are your thoughts in regards to some of the folks who will go on radio, do live shows, and do readings over the phone kind of thing? Is that still, from your perspective, is there some legitimacy there, or is that more playing to the entertainment aspect?
Well, you know, you're asking a question. As a quality control person, like my whole life is about integrity. It's a funny word to use. It's so funny. So it doesn't matter if your job as someone that's purchasing or interested in getting a reading done is to discern for you the quality of that person, whether they're doing it online, whether they're doing it on the phone, whether they're doing it in person, you have to use your, it's so astrology. Everything's so individualistic. And I encourage people, pay attention to your body. Pay attention to your emotions. Like, they're giving you cues. Pay attention to your internal dialogue and what your thoughts are, what your intuitions are. That's going to guide you. And if you could discern between your confusion and the vagueness, and when we all get caught in our, and the clarity and the knowing, you'll know who to work with and how to go get your chart done. And you guys, it's really, I use prayer a lot. Like, I'll say, can I get some help? Especially when my kids are sick, I'm sick. I'll just say, can you bring me the best person? And you can't believe what shows up.
So I'm going to try to draw upon that college course that I took so many years ago regarding psychology. And of course, most people, I would think that many people would think of Freud when you hear psychology, and that there's always that one element that permeates life from a Freudian standpoint. But what about the various can you break down for us the various elements of the human psyche in terms of its relationship to better understanding a chart that we would have done for ourselves so that we can begin that process of understanding who we are and why?
Very simple. There's four elements. This is my book, The Missing Element. And there's a test on page 42 where you take the test to figure out what the missing element is. There's four parts of the human psyche that we focus on. One is water. That's your emotional side. That deals with the internal psychic sensitivity imprint of your childhood, the blood, the bloodline, all the stuff that came through your psychology. The second one is air. That's the part of us that thinks and has ideas and reads books and collects information and lives in our head and, you know, talks like you do so well. The third element is earth. That's the practical money, manifestation, work ethic, values, practicality, all the things that make us make money and ground. And people are so good at that or not, depending on their personality type. And the last is fire. And that's the passion and the joy and the sexuality and the fun factor. And these four elements, the emotions, the thoughts, the practicality, and the fun, are what, according to the ancient system of astrology or the Hawaiian culture or the ancient system of the Jews from the Kabbalah, all these systems are based on four elements. And that's as simple as I can say it. So in the book, you take a test, you figure out which one's missing in you. Where's the imbalance? And then you just balance it. And it's like magic. Like, maybe you need to clean your closets. Maybe you need to go and make love. Maybe you need to go and learn how to cry. It's like, there's so many variations of what it will take to get you balanced. And that is psychology 101. Where is the default? Where's the positioning in your psyche that you fall into that you don't know why you're doing it, but it repeats and it doesn't serve you? And how do you introduce a new behavior?
Do you ever get people who, maybe not, but because if they were coming to you, they're obviously at least pliable enough to begin to understand that, you know, I need to do this. But what about resistance? Resistance from folks who just don't want to accept that this is why they are the way they are?
For sure, and they don't come see me. I mean, the people listening to the show, including you, obviously you really have a passion for waking up. there's people that are sleeping and don't wake them up. They came in this life to just get a little bit of a pillow and move it around. Then there's others that have come in like we, you and I, who had a really clear sense of purpose and mission, and we're on. And so you can't interrupt someone who's sleeping unless they ask. They say to you, excuse me, can you help me? But you don't go flashing your lights or turning the alarm clock on. You could kill somebody.
Well, that's a good point. I can understand that. And of course, you know, that we want to give people choices and, of course, knowledge of those choices to help make their dreams come true, to help them to find their life's purpose and so forth. But these are choices that are put before them. They're not forced upon anybody. We like to use the analogy of a smorgasbord, a table, a giant table with all of these different ideas. And we say, come and take what resonates for you and with you. But if it doesn't, don't touch it. Leave it alone. And maybe come back another day and see if it might then. But check the information out and incorporate the pieces that you want into your life. And then move forward. And that's really, you're right, that's really what we try to do. And obviously, there's no forcing. In spite of, obviously, from time to time, the ego wants to get in there and say, will you please wake up? You know, as you say, you could kill somebody doing that. But because, you know, we go through our lives and we face so many different challenges. I mean, especially here on the Central Coast, the latter part of 2017 and early part of 2018, we've just gone through the ringer, even if we did not suffer the direct effects of either the fire or the flooding, we're here. And this is part of our community. And I have to tell you, my wife made a great comment the other day. She says, the news that we're hearing about the flooding and the victims and the debris flows and all of this stuff following the fire, it sounds like some news you'd hear coming out of, say, Chile or Venezuela or someplace else in the world, not Santa Barbara, California. It feels so bizarre to hear that kind of news coming out of a place that supposedly is so pristine and so beautiful, and some people refer to it as paradise and so forth. And so these are the kinds of things that sort of test our mettle, I suppose, but also bring out those aspects of our psyche that then we want to take a look at and say, why am I like this? When you talk with someone, when you work with someone, whether it's in the classes, or I would assume you still work with people one-on-one when you're doing their charts and again, talking about the whys, when you're talking with them about these things, are you using your, shall we say, sixth sense, your intuition in that regard? Or is there any of that, because what you said earlier about how this is all based on hard science, and we brought up astronomy earlier?
I would say it's a combo for sure. I think my superpower is listening. My superpower, the word listen and silent have the same letters. In order to listen to somebody, you've got to stop thinking and actually hear what they're saying and not what you want to say, not what you want to jump in, and that reminds me of me. You got to really stay still. I teach this in the school because a really good reader, a really good healer, stands still and leaves a space to deeply hear somebody. So is that intuition? Is that a learned skill? Is that something that's in my chart? Yes to all of those. When I'm very deeply listening, do I get downloads and instinctual knowings? And do I teach my students to do the same? Yes. So what you're asking is intuition, hard science. You know, this life is such a funny, it's such a wonderful dance with all the flavors that we play with. And it requires refined listening at every level, from what you're eating to what you're doing with your day to what you're listening to, like really paying attention. Is this giving me energy? Am I feeling woken up? Do I feel perky? Do I feel alive? Am I feeling happy? Or is this kind of boring the poop out of me and I'm totally miserable? I'm sitting here faking it. You got to ask yourself these questions.
It's interesting how we sometimes just fall into things. You know, it's like being in the right place at the right time. Is that how you have felt with this?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was definitely orchestrated. I found astrology at a very young age, and at a very young age discovered that I had a skill set that stood out. I didn't, you know, what do I know? That's what I love about my school. There's no way I could have learned astrology back then. 40 years ago. I had such a random source. And yes, it was all meant to be. And even graduate school, and I did a research project on astrology and mental health. And, you know, I was obsessed from the age of about 10. So, yeah, that was completely destined, as was probably you being on this radio show. And any of you listening, you can look at your world and go, oh, I had to meet that first husband. Or, oh, I had that dog came to me. I can't even believe how that cat walked in my house and it was mine. There are these destined hard truths. And if only we were wise enough to do our prayers and stay surrendered and be humble. You know, it's not easy. This whole thing is, you said earlier, the ego wants to wake up. It's the soul that uses crisis to wake you up. It's the soul that wants to get your attention through a break or a heartbreak or a financial break. That's how your soul gets you. The ego plays comfort. The soul plays consciousness and wakes you up with the stupidest of circumstances.
Yet, don't I know it. I moved from Phoenix, Arizona in 2006. I wanted to get away from the heat. I've lived here for 13 years, and I've been through, what was the count, 11 fires. And I sit here thinking, are these experiences that I came here to have, or is the universe trying to tell me something? That it's time to move on, get the heck out of that place before we burn you out, kind of thing. Someone actually made that comment to me. Maybe the universe is trying to tell you something. It is fascinating, and especially this aspect of being in the right place at the right time. And I do that quite often, that little retrospective you talked about. Thinking, wow, if I hadn't made that choice and gone to the left versus going to the right, or stopping instead of starting, and so forth. And I'm sorry.
I love thinking about that stuff.
Yeah, I used to when I bicycled to and from work. I worked out 10 miles outside of town at the transmitter site of a station back in Phoenix, and I bicycled there. And you had to bicycle through farm fields. You know, they had paved roads, of course, through there. And I had this impression that, okay, you need to turn right at the next corner. And I ignored it, and I kept right on going for about a half a mile. And the impression would not go away. I literally turned around, went back the half mile to that intersection, made the turn that I should have made, went around the block, so to speak, of the farm field, and then continued on my path to the station. Not having any clue as to why, other than I knew that I couldn't continue going the path that I was, because that impression just wouldn't go away. And the only way I knew to get rid of it, well, was to go back the way I was directed to in the first place. I don't know what I avoided. I don't know if it was just a test. All I know is when you get those kinds of impressions, boy, I tell you, and they're that strong, you've got to follow them.
Yes, and that's also dreamers. I have that a lot in my dreams. There's different ways we get messages: through voices, through dreams, through instinct, from intuition, from other people. The signs are always there, from doing divination cards. But this is the first time in I call it her story instead of history, because mm-hmm. his story's over. I mean, Oprah really helped us with that just recently.
I'm hearing you on that one.
Yeah, her story. I feel bad for Matt. Her story is everywhere. And this is the first time in her story that we've ever been able to get on a radio show and talk about astrology. This was, first of all, as a woman, you were never allowed to do astrology, just like you were never allowed to be a rabbi. There were no women rabbis until 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. None, zero, nada. Mm-hmm. So for the first time ever, I'm an astrologer. I'm on a radio show talking about stars, and I'm not looking out the window going, are they coming to get me? Does the neighborhood know? Like, who found out that I'm an astrologer? This is so dangerous. I'm talking about things that religion would cut my head off for.
In fact, religion in the beginning was using astrology, but now, oh, no, that's a lie. We never use that. Well, you know, if we go back far enough into the ancient wisdom teachings, hello.
That's how they found Christ.
Exactly. They followed the star. Exactly. And yeah, it is very interesting. I mean, I've watched the progression. I mean, for the first 15 years of my career, I worked for a Christian radio station. And strangely enough, I was doing interviews like this, but not using the words that you and I might be using in the context of this program. I used the words that they understood back then. I understood how the management, ownership, and advertisers and programmers and listeners thought and felt and the words they used. So I used their words, and we still talked about these kinds of things. We still talked about channeling. We still talked about near-death experiences and so forth. And it's been very interesting to see that progression, as well as many of the other healing modalities that certainly were taboo 15, 20, 30 years ago. And now they're mainstream and people are looking for them and saying, hey, I've gotten relief from it for this condition 5 years ago. I'm going back to do it again. I'm not going to this guy over here who's got an MD from the AMA. Not to say that there aren't uses for that particular modality, but, you know, people are looking for ways to move forward. A lot of the old ways of doing things keep us stuck or actually push us backwards in some instances. So what we're trying to find is those new ways of living here on this program. And I'm encouraged by the type of work that you're doing. I'm curious about your family and the relationships that you have with your parents, per se, when you discovered astrology. Were they open to it, or was there a religious bias in that regard? Tell me about that in regards to who and what you are.
It's so funny. This is going to make you laugh. So my father was in the Jewish mafia when I grew up, and he was a good guy. He was Robin Hood. He stole from the rich and gave to the poor, but he was a crook nonetheless. And when he found out what I was doing, he was like, oh, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. What are you doing? You're charging people to talk about what? So my father was a very influential character and really gave me the gift of wisdom. He was a deep thinker, and he did not follow the rules. And he taught me to think for myself and to not feel at all attached to seeking approval from others. Well, that was a huge, huge gift. While it may have shown up in a difficult package because he did have to go to jail and there was a lot of hardship, but I am eternally grateful. And my mother was, she looked exactly like Bette Midler. They both passed. And she pretended she was her. Everybody asked for her autograph wherever we went because she's a total double. And it was very annoying that she wouldn't just tell them she wasn't Bette Midler. And she was a character out of a TV show. So between her, their names were Tilly and Milt. But they, my mom and dad were very proud of me. I went to Harvard when I left high school, and I academically excelled in the name of uniqueness. I wouldn't say it was academic tradition, but I brought always, as I do, this unusual, but thank you, mom and dad, to this very unusual twist that doesn't fit in to the box called quote unquote normal, which is just a setting on the dryer. I mean, there is no such thing as normal, but
right.
I had no chance of being normal with those parents. So I was given a very strong running start by my upbringing and the culture I grew up in as a Jew. And no, there was no religious limitations at all. In fact, one of the things I love about Judaism is, especially the old wisdom that comes out of the mystical Judaism, is they believe and they are very open. They don't have a notion of hell. There is no hell in Judaism. There is nothing to be afraid of. They promote and support a very active thinking and mindset. And so I'm very grateful that I was raised that way.
It's one of the wonderful attributes that I have found when interviewing rabbis and the conversations I've had with them is that very thing. Especially the aspect of as you say, hell. And when I had a conversation about the devil and Satan and so forth, as is taught in Christianity, and I think I was told correctly that, hey, that's nothing more than the lowest base nature of man. That's just his dark side. You know, there isn't this entity out there, called Satan. I mean, yes, we can talk about Lucifer and fallen angels and that kind of stuff, but I thought, boy, that makes a lot more sense, that's just part of who we are, and we have to learn how to embrace it, which sounds kind of weird, but also understand that is that the direction that we want to go? I mean, it is part of who we are. We can't deny that, but that doesn't mean we have to go that direction if we don't want to.
And free will.
Free will, exactly.
Free will is a very small button. It only occurs between your ears, the fact of your hard fate, who you end up with and what your job is and what your finances are and the color of your hair, all that is written. But you do have this free will button that's living right between your ears that says, I'm choosing again. Hold on a minute, everybody.
And I've often told people, I said, I don't care where you are, what circumstances you're in, you always, always have choices.
It's true. And now I have a choice to have to finish this because I have a lot of people waiting. I've got people flying in today. Woohoo!
Well, fantastic. I want to thank you. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. First of all, a reminder that it is DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com. That's the website. Check it out. And we encourage you also to pick up a copy of The Missing Element. And before we let you go, two things. When you find yourself back on the mainland, should you find yourself here in Santa Barbara, we would love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
Great. And so, and then the other thing, I'm going to add one more thing. There's something called thestarcommunity.com that I think you'd really like. It's a platform. It's a membership site for $22 a month where you learn the basics of astrology without taking the class, because I know we're in February here. Mm-hmm. So any of you are interested in learning about astrology in a very simple way, mm-hmm. you just go to thestarcommunity.com.
Thestarcommunity.com. Fantastic. And secondly, I have three final quick questions for you before we let you go. And again, thank you so much for so much time. The first question is, who is Deborah Silverman?
Funny. She's a little funny hat that she wears, a little outfit she puts on over her soul, and everybody gets fooled and thinks it's Deborah Silverman.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I want to help people fall in love with themselves so that we can actually be kind to each other and remember why it is we incarnated in the first place.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
To bring astrology to the masses and tell people it's okay to look up, to feel the wind, to touch the water, to put your naked feet on the ground and make love. If we don't feel it, embody this experience, you may as well go home. Mm-hmm.
Deborah Silverman, thank you so much for so much time here on the program, and we do look forward to having you back on the program in the near future.
Thank you so much.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.